Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to this week's broadcast from River of Life Fellowship Church in Copenhagen, New York. This week, Jay Misick shares with us a message on what it is to be a child of God.
Okay, so my title today is Child of God. What does that mean? It's one of those things that you hear a lot, but what does it actually mean? And over the years, people have asked me kind of a similar question. How do I know if I'm really a Christian? I wondered that myself from time to time throughout the years. I've grown up in a Christian home. I've been a Christian a long time, but every once in a while I went, am I really what God's wanting me to be as a Christian, as a man of God? So today I'm going to try to answer. If any of you ever wondered that or asked yourself that same question, I'm going to try to answer that today and according to the Bible and hit on a few other points. In Genesis 1:27, it says that we are created in God's image. Does that automatically mean that we're a child of God? And everyone said, no, in case you were wondering. It's not true at all. We're made in his image, but that does not mean that we're a child of God. It's much more than that. A common misconception is that if you go to church every Sunday, if you're baptized, if you tithe, throw a little bit of money in the plate or the bag as it goes by, read the verse of the day or do something good every once in a while, that you're good, that makes you a Christian. That's not the case. Abel shared a few weeks ago, and during his sermon, he mentioned that if coming to church on Sunday is the extent of your Christianity, you're probably not a Christian. And that's a pretty hard thing to say, to hear, but it's the truth. My first section of scripture today is one that we're familiar with, especially from this pulpit. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. And in the Bible, this is on the screen, but in the Bible, these are the words of Jesus. These words are in red. He said these words directly. It's serious. None of us ever want to be in that situation. And today I want kind of a self-check to help us to never, anyone who's hearing this message, to be in that situation. We hear things many times, and sometimes they lose their pizzazz, their importance. And when we hear this verse, we read it a lot, we think, oh, there it is again. Yeah. It should be a reminder every time we hear it. It should be a reminder of where we're at, a good self-check of where we're at in our walk with the Lord. But the end, it says, away from me, you evildoer. That means eternity away from the Heavenly Father, eternity in hell. That's a big deal. It's not something you want to get wrong. There was a quote from I'll call him a famous pastor online, been my favorite pastor online since probably the mid-90s. His name's Adrian Rogers, and he has a sermon titled Salvation, and I want to share a quote with you from it, and it really brings life to the verse I just read, makes it kind of more personal. There are many people in this congregation, this is to whoever he was talking to, but I think you'll get the idea, it applies to everyone. There are many people in this congregation and many people listening to me across the nation. You're going to hell, not because you're a drunkard, not because you're a thief, but because you never were. You think the gospel is for the harlot. You think the gospel is for the thief. You think the gospel is for the drunkard. Most people in America are egomaniacs strutting their way to hell, thinking they're too good to be damned, trusting in their own religion. It's essentially an interpretation of the scripture we just read. Very heavy stuff. But true. If we think about the people that we're around, I've had some opportunities to share the gospel with people, and they're like, that's not for me. I don't need it. Christianity is a crutch, and it's not anything I need. That's really not the case. We're called to live high standards as men and women of God, and the Bible tells us that that's what we need to do, but it's not easy. When he says at the end there, thinking they're too good to be damned, it's because of their own rules and standards. We're going to be judged by God's standards, not our own or what someone else might think. So we need to be prepared for God's standards. And there's a song just about something earlier on this morning about winning the race. We can only win the race if we follow the rules. If we run a race by our own rules, and they're not according to the competition we're in, we're disqualified. That's not a great place to be. So it's important that we know Scripture. We know what God's calling us to do and what's expected of us as we walk out our days. Sandy mentioned to us last week when she shared, referenced the same verse, Romans 14, verses 11 and 12, says, "It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each will give an account of himself to God." So we've heard that just recently, and that's for everybody. Someday, I don't know when that day will be, but each and every one of us will have to give an account for what we've said, what we did, how we acted, everything. And that's pretty heavy when we think about it. And it's very easily to be we walk out our lives day after day doing what we think is best and what we're comfortable with, and just completely disregarding what God has for us and what he tells us until that day. Then it's a big deal. So I don't know what Judgment Day is going to look like. I know there's talk about it. Pastor George did a series, or at least a sermon, maybe a series on end times, and it's kind of his best guess at what he thinks will happen. Everyone else is as well, and I don't know what it'll look like, but I have a short video of what it might look similar to. So
next file, please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good.
This way.
Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like one time I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out.
This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah.
I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles.
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
Okay, so like I said, I'm not really sure how things are going to go, but I think you get the idea that what's happened there, that anything that we do is not going to be good enough. And also, if you notice, each one that had an excuse, it was, I did this, and it's not about I, it's not about us, it's about him. It's the only way. I have another more personal, well, not personal, but a kind of a more real life example I'd like to share. I had a friend of mine who received a traffic ticket, not for me. Nonetheless, he received a traffic ticket, ended up going to court to take care of it. And during his time there, I'm really thankful that he shared this with me, but he said it was almost like a preview of what it might be like on Judgment Day. Sitting there amongst other people who have received tickets or got committed some sort of offense or crime, and going before the judge, and all who went before him were guilty. He was able to watch them. No favoritism was shown for race, gender, or social status. Didn't matter. Mercy was shown to some with the assistance of the district attorney in some sort of a reduction, but there was still a consequence. And the judge made a decision in each case, and it was final. Just like it will be on Judgment Day when we stand before God. The difference is, on Judgment Day, if mercy is shown, at that time, it'll be for a full pardon, as we see in the video. Isn't that exciting? Super exciting. Today, I want to help you understand what it takes to be a child of God so we don't have to hear, "Away from me, you evildoer," on Judgment Day. Not that I have all the answers, but the Bible does, and I'm just sharing you what I found in the Bible on this topic. So, point number one, why do we need a Savior? As I kind of mentioned briefly earlier, many people don't think they need a Savior. Everything's good. They're successful people. They're healthy. Everything in the world's eyes is going well for them. So why would I need a Savior? But in Genesis we read, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm paraphrasing here. He created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, including mankind, specifically Adam and Eve. God gave them instructions and free will. They chose to sin and go against what God had told them, thus separating them and consequently us from God. The penalty for sin is death, but because of God's great love for mankind, he made a way of redemption for us and a way back to him through his son Jesus. He sent Jesus into the world to die a horrible death on a cross as the perfect sacrifice for all sins of all mankind for all time. Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension paved the way for us for redemption. He paid a price we could not pay. It was the ultimate display of love. It was amazing. How often do you think about that sacrifice? The first Sunday of every month? About 10-15? Or is it something that you think about daily? Because we really should. It's something that we couldn't do, and he willfully did it for us. It's an amazing display of love. So that's my first point. My second point, how do we become a child of God? Like I said, God made a way for us to come back to him, and we have a decision to make. We all do. Are we going to accept or reject God's free will of salvation, or free gift of salvation? If we accept it, Scripture tells us those who confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, and repent and turn from our sinful ways and follow Jesus, we will be saved. Sounds easy enough, right? Some key words I want to just do a little more explanation on here. We'll start with confess. Confess deals with humility, taking personal responsibility for the sins we've committed, and realizing that we have a need for a Savior. When it says, confess that Jesus, by mouth, Jesus is our Lord, that's giving him complete control of our life. That's not just giving him the areas that are easy, it's giving him complete control. That's the confession part. Too often, myself included, it's easy to give him what is really not important to us, doesn't consume as much time, the rest we want to keep. But the confession of him being Jesus, making Jesus our Lord, is life-changing. Giving him the reins of our life in every area. Scripture says in Matthew 10:32-33, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So the confession part, it's not to be kept a secret. We don't confess Jesus as our Lord for Sunday mornings, for men's group on Saturday mornings, for in our own homes. When we confess Jesus as Lord and give him complete control of our life, it's going to show everywhere we go. When we walk out this door this afternoon to through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and back here, there should be a difference in your walk, how you do things, the thing you say, versus people who don't know the Lord. The believe part. Believe in their hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. He's not dead. He's alive. He's available to us. Any other God that we look at in this world that people believe in, God is dead. Our God is alive. That's super exciting, because when we wake up in the morning, we're not alone. Anything that we come up against, anything that we go through, we're not alone, because our God lives and he's with us. He's available to us. And because that's true, we trust him for everything. We strive to get to a point where we don't worry. If we read in Scripture, are we supposed to worry? Do we have anything to worry about when we have God on our side? making or in living in us as part of our life and transforming us. It's a trust thing. The believe is trust. It's an active thing you need to do. An example I've heard, I believe it's in a sermon somewhere, is trusting requires action. If I believe that that chair will hold me, but I don't go sit in it, does my action show that I believe it'll hold me? If I say that chair will hold me and I go sit in it, well, then I believe that my actions show that I believe it'll hold me. Just like believing in God. Do you believe that he can take care of you, whatever your needs are, any areas you're struggling with, whether it's health, finances, relationships, or is your issues too big for God? We need to trust God. Believe he is who he said he is. It requires action. And the last one there, repent. Turn from your wicked ways, your wicked worldly ways, and turn and follow Jesus. When you turn, repentance has to do a turning from one direction to the other. So if I'm going to walk this way and repent and go back this way, I'm going to end up in a different direction. Okay? If we're going to repent, there should be some sort of turning away from our sinful ways to the things of Jesus. And we're going to end up in a different place if it truly happens. There's only one way to our Heavenly Father, and it's through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in and transforms our lives. When we make that commitment, it's not just empty words. It's a life change. And we don't look at our lives and things in the world the same way. there was a time in men's group years ago where someone asked a question, shared a testimony. I'll never forget it. This person was fairly new Christian at the time, and he said, if I confess, believe, and repent, how do I know it really took? Like, how do I know it really worked? Okay. So I said, well, off the top of my head is things are starting to will start to change in your life. The things that you liked before that were sinful will now appall you. And the things of God you're going to desire. I go, it should be pretty obvious if that transformation has taken place. And he goes, well, I have a coffee cup in my cupboard. It's my favorite cup. And he says it has a pretty offensive saying on it. He says, I've had it for a long time. It's my favorite cup. I drink from it every day. And just recently I looked at it and I couldn't stand what it said on it. And I threw it away. I go, that's what I'm talking about. Perfect example. But that's what our life should be. It shouldn't be a life, if I've given my life to the Lord, then it should be obvious in many areas. Just like that. I mentioned just a few minutes ago that we have a decision to make because of the free gift of salvation that Jesus gives us. For those who reject Jesus and his free gift, their destination is hell. There's no way to sugarcoat that. There's no way to say it another way. It's the truth. Like we saw in the video, for Judgment Day, there is no discussion on that decision. It's final. We need to be prepared for that day now. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the next few minutes. We're not guaranteed a week. This is a pretty important decision. Some people don't believe that there's a hell. I've talked to people that very thing. Well, you've never seen hell, so how do you know that it's a real place? Because the Bible says, and I believe what the Bible says. Some things are true whether we believe them or not. It's a scary thing. So my third point, final point, is, so what does it look like? What does the life of a child of God look like? If you're a child of God, that means you've accepted God's show of love for you in the death and resurrection of his Son. Your life actions will reflect him as your heavenly Father, Lord, and Savior. Everything will now be about him. Like I briefly mentioned earlier, everything will be different in your life. How you handle conflict, what you think of your neighbor who might not like you, what people say about you, somebody who cuts you off, a boss that's hard to get along with, how you handle each one of these situations is going to be different. Obedience to him is going to be our highest priority. It doesn't matter. It's super easy to be mad at someone who's done you wrong, who said something not true about you. But when we look at, getting ahead of myself a little bit, how we're going to handle those things, it's with love and forgiveness. And that's a high bar. But that's what we're called to. To experience the benefit of God, or the benefit of what Jesus did for us on Judgment Day, those are things that we're going to have to be doing. And there's no way around that. There's no excuse, like we saw in the video. It's going to be good enough to make things right without Jesus. These things we don't do out of obligation. We do these things out of love for our Father in heaven because of his love for us. We love because he first loved us. I think many times people, and it kind of showed in that video, they try to do things on a works basis. I stopped and helped somebody change a tire last week. You know, I came and volunteered at the food pantry or helping hands. It's got to count for something, right? It's not a works. We don't do works to get to Jesus. It's because of his love for us that we love in return. We love others. We love him. That's kind of a hard thing to grasp for people, but that's exactly what it is. It's not a works mentality. After we commit our life to Christ, the Bible gives us instructions on how to live as children of God. Aren't we thankful for that? We are, but we don't take advantage of it. Too often we like to do our own thing, and we see that in society today, what was right is now wrong, and what was wrong is now right, because we're not in this book. We're doing our own thing. We're thinking that this seems right. This is easier. Well, this is what everyone else is doing, but that's not our standard. God's word is our standard. And our guide instructions. So the passage I want to take you to today is Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 520. If you have your Bible with you, if you would turn to that. The subtitle in my Bible for this is called Living as Children of Light. And it's a letter written by Paul to the church in Ephesus. And keep in mind that this is written to Christians who've heard the good news of Jesus. And he's correcting and instructing here. Now, this is a longer passage. I'm just going to kind of interject comments as I read through it. It is a longer passage, but I really couldn't figure out what to cut out of it and make it right. So we're in for the long haul. It says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they are They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge into every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you have learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So again, talking to the church, and he's having to say this, this is not how you're supposed to live. You were taught in regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put off or put on the new self created to be like God in true likeness and holiness. So like we were talking about, it shouldn't look the same. Putting off the old, putting on the new, it's going to be different. You should see a difference. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speaking truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your... Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. If time goes by when you're angry, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with your neighbor, a boss, it just gets worse. And it says, don't give the devil a foothold. I was thinking of this morning, that we have an old house in the foundation. Sometimes there's cracks in it that need to be filled up with cement or something just to keep critters from getting in, mice and things like that. And if you don't, all they need is just a small gap to get in. And same way with the devil. If he can get into your mind just for a minute about a little thing, he can make it a big deal. So don't let the sun go down on your anger is a big thing. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work and do something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that is, that it may benefit those who listen. How about that one? Any unwholesome talk coming out of your mouth? We'll address that a little in just a second. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice, but be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. So when I started out, we were talking about the drunkard, the thief, the adulterer. You don't fit in that category. But I'm guessing as we read through these scriptures, there's going to be an area where you might have something to deal with. I know I have. There's many of them. But we can't allow that to continue on. And because, like what I said earlier, the Holy Spirit being in us, there's nothing that we can't overcome. A lot of times people say, that's just who I am. I've been doing this for years, my whole life. This is what I know. This is what my parents did. It doesn't matter. When we stand before God, it's something that we're going to have to answer for. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the ways of love, in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint, hints not very much, a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these things are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are all out of place, but rather thanksgiving. too easy to get caught up in these things. Whether it be in your home, at work, with your neighbor, all of these things can creep up and you might not even know that it's happening. There was a guy who came to men's group years ago, and we were talking about something on this topic, and his issue was swearing. And he's like, I don't know if I can overcome that. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I've been swearing for 52 years. How do you overcome that? Because our God is bigger than swearing. Our God is bigger than being unforgiving. Our God is bigger than sexual sins and greed and obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, all these things. We have to rely on God, especially if it's an area where that's all we know. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So, those things that we've just mentioned, when we're standing before God on Judgment Day, it mentioned a hint. That's just a little bit. We can't have even a little bit. We need a Savior, as we've seen in the video. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. So when we talked about how do I know if I'm there, be looking for these fruits in your life. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. There's a longer list, but you get the idea here. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that illuminates becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. Be very careful then how you live, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Be careful how you live. That should be something we are doing every day. Just think of something you may just say off the cuff in front of somebody that knows that you're a Christian, and they say, I'm surprised you said that. I'm surprised you laughed at that. Don't live as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity. That's an opportunity, I just said there. If you make a comment or laugh at something that you shouldn't, that was an opportunity to walk away. Say, no, it's not anything I'm interested in talking about. You know, and not saying, I'm a Christian, so I can't hear those things, I can't say those things. No, it's just not pleasing to God. You know, take advantage of every opportunity. It may lead to something really cool. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with hymns, with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for everything. It doesn't say when you have enough money. It doesn't say when you're healthy. It doesn't say when you have enough time. When everything's going well. It says, and give thanks to God for everything. All the time. Whoops. I gotta catch up my notes. So, just a reminder, we don't do these things that we just read about out of obligation. When we're walking out our life and things that aren't pleasing to God comes up and we actually do them, there should be some sort of conviction there. Like, this isn't right. I shouldn't be doing. What I'm doing is displeasing to God, and that should be enough to make us turn from our ways. Not about works. We do these things out of a response to the love shown to us by God. It's because he loved us that we do these things. And because of our faith in Jesus, how should we respond to him? First Peter 1:13-17. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have when you lived in ignorance, but just as he called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners on earth here in reverent fear. After hearing these verses, do you hate sin like God does? Are you pursuing holiness? Or does it not cross your mind at all? These are some self-checks that need to be had. And probably often. If you're like me, it needs to happen often. I have a study Bible, and the notes say here, to be holy is to be set apart from sin and impurity, and to be set to God. The complete moral perfection of God, whose eyes are too pure to look on evil with favor, should move his people to strive for moral purity. So just knowing, it's hard to grasp the purity of God, but just to know that I've disappointed him in the things that I've said or did in any way should change our ways. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Do you walk out your faith with fear and trembling, meaning the wholesome reverence and respect for God, which is the basis for all godly living? I was thinking about the Old Testament when I read that. The people who were in the presence of God, they couldn't even look on him. They're on the ground with their face down. And then I want to say things, you know, that might make somebody laugh or whatever. I'm saying that before a holy God. I'm going to stand before him someday. Do I want to make things right or just continue on in my own ways? As we wrap it up, I want you to consider a few things, a little bit of self-reflection here. You understand the reason for being a child of God and how important it is? I know the things that I mentioned today are difficult to put into practice, but we do need a Savior. We fall short in every single category. We can't do it on our own, nor are we good enough. You understand how to become a child of God? Confess, believe, repent. Is there evidence in your life, fruit that comes from, or that would confirm that you're a child of God? If there's not, it might take some serious changes in your life.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're glad you could be here. Remember, if you'd like to hear more, watch our service live on Facebook, YouTube, or visit our website at www.riveroflifechurch.org. Also, mark your calendar for community tent meetings with the ministry Gospel Express on Wednesday, August 20th through Thursday, August 31st at Maple Ridge Center in Lowville, New York. Every evening, starting at 7 p.m., will be music from various singing groups and a message from Christian evangelists Nelson Koblenz and Dave Miller. Friday evenings, after normal service, will be youth events that will be held from 9:30 to 11:30 p.m. Bring your family, friends, and an open heart to be blessed and be a blessing to others. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.